MJ Jenkins, Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Educator, bringing you the Beef Watch Podcast. This is the audio companion to the UNL Beef Watch electronic newsletter. Today I have Aaron Berger with me. Aaron's also a Nebraska Extension Educator on the beef team. Thanks for joining me, Aaron.
Thanks again for the opportunity, Jay.
Aaron wrote a profit tip on the beef website that he called Unit Cost of Production for a Cow-Calf Enterprise. So I know that this is one of the topics that we hit every once in a while on the Beef Watch podcast, but it's been a while, so I think it's a good idea. Such an important concept that it's almost, I guess it might be possible to talk about it too much, but I don't think we've reached that point yet. So you want to just start off by reminding folks what unit cost of production is and why we think it's so important.
Sure. In terms of thinking about unit cost production is really a ratio. It's costs in the numerator divided by units produced in the denominator. And the real value for knowing unit cost production is the information it provides to help you as the manager make decisions. And so everything really in production, in the cost of production, is either in the numerator or in the denominator. So in the numerator side, again, is the cost, and those are really, I like to break those into two categories, things we call direct costs and overhead costs. And direct costs are those things which increase incrementally for each cow I have in production. So, for example, if I have 100 cows and I buy another 100 cows, I'm going to expect to buy another 100 units of vaccine beyond that first 100 units I have when the first group of 100 cows I had. I'm going to plan to buy more salt mineral. I'm going to plan to buy more protein supplement. I'm going to plan to buy maybe more ear tags. Those are things that increase incrementally for each unit I have in production. The other cost in the numerator is overhead costs. And overhead costs are things that don't change very much in terms of the number of cows I have in production, usually until I reach some threshold level where maybe I decide to add a unit of labor. So overhead costs are things like labor related to care of the cows, pickups, tractors, four-wheelers, horses, things like a working facility. If I have 5 cows, I probably have many of those things. If I have 100 cows, that doesn't mean just because I added more cows that I'm going to add more of those things to care for those cows. Those tend to be overhead costs. Understanding the difference between overhead costs and direct costs can really help you identify where maybe there's opportunity to make changes. The other thing I think from a unit cost production standpoint is understanding if I spend money, what am I getting back for that, either from direct cost or overhead costs. So if I think about putting a dollar into the system, maybe buying some protein supplement, I'm hoping or I believe that by spending the money on that protein supplement, I'm going to get at least equal to the value that I spent or more back. And so I want to think about inputs. I want to think about where I spend money and thinking about what am I getting back for what I spend. Also, I think there may be opportunities where as we think about looking at the operation, are there places where maybe I can take some money out of the expense side? Am I spending money somewhere now that maybe I could take that out of the system and really not have any dramatic effect on productivity, which in effect would improve unit cost production? So as we think about unit cost production, again, it's just understanding that it's a ratio, understanding the difference between overhead costs and direct costs, and thinking about how management changes impact that. So as we think about unit cost production and understanding what's the value, why would I want to get that information? What would it do for me as a manager? Well, when you know your unit cost production, it can give you some information on how competitive you are in terms of how your numbers compare with other people. You can find out where is your competitive advantage? What can you do maybe better than someone else? Or maybe is there a place where your operation, because of the resources, because of the skills you have, just doesn't a very good fit for you, and thinking about maybe what changes you can make. One of the critical pieces around unit cost production in most operations I work with, they have a number of enterprises. Usually they own land of some kind. They also often rent land. Sometimes they put up harvested feed, whether it's hay or silage or some other feed resource. They often develop their own replacement heifers. Sometimes they have a stocker yearling or a backgrounding operation as part of that. And then often a core piece of the operation as a whole is their cow-calf enterprise. being able to break the operation into enterprises, understanding where costs occur, where value is being generated, and then putting a value on resources as they move between enterprises, I think is important to really get a handle on what's occurring in the business in terms of where's value being generated, where's costs occurring, and which of these enterprises are doing well, maybe which ones aren't doing well, and what maybe is some opportunity to make management changes based on that enterprise analysis. I really don't know of any other way to get to effective unit cost production with an operation that has multiple enterprises until we break those enterprises apart separately and identify cost within each of those and also value what's generated with each of those enterprises as we look at how values move between those.
I would agree with that. They kind of go hand in hand. And if you're going to be able to use the unit cost of production information gained most effectively in implementing management changes, it needs to go hand in hand with enterprise analysis, tackle each individual enterprise separately. How about we just tick through some of the major expense categories and talk about how one might address. And let's just start off with feed. Feed is, I think, in every cow-calf operation, the number one largest expense.
Yeah, I would agree. In Nebraska, especially when we look at pasture rental rates, when we look at the value of that today, feed is our number one cost. And it really is everywhere. But in Nebraska, our value of grass in terms of pasture rental rates really, I think, highlight the fact of how important understanding and managing feed costs are. Now, I want to say that some people would say, well, we own our land, and so our feed cost really isn't a very big expense. And I would present the argument, you need to ask your cows to pay fair market value on paper for the feed that's developed or grown on your ranch, whether it's hay you put up or whether it's grass that you graze. Those cows need to pay on paper anyway fair market value for that grass, because you could not own cows and rent the grass to someone else. So we want to see, can the cows pay fair market value for the grass or for the hay, so we're not subsidizing that enterprise with maybe our hay enterprise or our land enterprise. We think about feed costs. When I look at cow-calf enterprises, usually feed cost ranges anywhere from around $450 to $650 to $700 per cow. And again, that's valuing all feed at market value going into the cow herd. And so we can see that we want to think about how we utilize that resource and be judicious about it. You can't starve a profit into a cow, and I'm sure not advocating that, but I am advocating paying attention to what your feed resources are, and then also looking at what are some alternatives and what are some things maybe you could do to reduce feed cost. It's really interesting today. And Jay, there's an article coming out here in the April issue of the Beef Watch looking at valuing pasture on a price per ton basis in terms of thinking about the grass or the forage actually that gets into the cow. What's a little bit humbling or sobering for me is that in many cases we can buy hay or we can buy ethanol co-products such as dry distiller's grains or wet distiller's grains that on a price per unit of energy and a price per unit of protein is actually less expensive today than grazed summer grass. And that's a challenge for us. That goes against many of the paradigms that I sure grew up with thinking about, thinking that we can always graze cheaper than we can buy harvested feed. This may be a short-term type scenario in Nebraska, but it's sure a scenario right now where that's not necessarily the case. Harvested feed in many cases is actually less expensive on a price per unit of energy or protein than grazed feed in some cases right now.
Yeah, that's true. Grace forage is a little cheaper this year than it was last year, but it's still very expensive. So let's talk about cow depreciation or replacement heifer development costs. No matter which way you want to look at it, it's sort of the same thing. The cost of maintaining your cow herd. For lots of people, that's their second biggest expense. For others, it's their third. But no matter which way you look at it, it's a big expense, and it's one that's also subject to management. You can influence that expense fairly readily. So you want to talk about how you calculate that?
Yeah, so let's talk about that topic a little bit. In all of these topics, honestly, as we go through here, we could spend a lot more time on each of them. We're kind of hitting the highlights, but On the cow depreciation topic, there's really three things that impact cow depreciation. The first is initial cost to get that bred female into the herd. So whether I raise the heifer myself or I go out and buy a bred female to put her in the herd, I need to really understand what did it cost me to get that heifer or bred female, if it's where maybe we're buying some running age cows, what did it cost me to get her into the herd? If I raise that heifer myself, I'm really an advocate of putting a value on that heifer at weaning. I think it's best to put a fair market value on that heifer at weaning and then track all cost from weaning till we get that heifer into the herd as a bred heifer to really identify what did it cost us and what was her value at weaning, and then adding those two together to get a cost into the herd as a bred female. The next cost that we want to pay attention to, or I shouldn't say cost, but value, I guess, is what is the salvage value of the female when she leaves the herd? So again, the first one is initial cost to get her into the herd. The second one is what is her salvage value when she leaves the herd? Things we can do to increase the salvage value of that cow when she leaves the herd. Things like thinking about when we market. Typically, October, November, December tend to be the low of the year in terms of cold cow prices. That's not always true, but I would say 8 out of 10 years, that sure would tend to be true. So maybe we think about how can we market that cow outside of that low market historic window. Maybe we can think about ways to add value to the cow by adding weight. Maybe we can move her up. If she's a little thin, we can add some weight to her and increase her value both on a price per pound basis and then increase the total pounds that we sell. Another opportunity, I think, in Nebraska for many spring calving producers is thinking about their breeding season. Is there a way to have a long breeding season and a short calving season? And some folks might say, Aaron, you need to go back to animal science. That's not possible. But it is. If we have a long breeding season, we can have a short calving season just by identifying which cows fit our calving window and then marketing those cows that aren't in our calving window to someone else that fits their time frame. Difference between a bred cow today and an open cow, probably somewhere between $400 to $800. And so that's a significant amount of money. And oftentimes those cows that we breed can go into someone else's system and be a good source of replacement for those. And so thinking about, again, is there a way to maybe have cows leave the herd as a pregnant female rather than as an open female? And then the last one we have is in the denominator side. So the initial cost and the salvage value, and then that's divided by number of productive years. Things that we can do to keep that female in the herd cost effectively, ways that we can help her stay in the herd, decrease turnover, can be to our advantage. Now, I want to put a little caveat in here. There are some folks who figured out a way to actually increase turnover in their herd, but when cows leave the herd, they're leaving the herd as bred females, and those cows have little depreciation. So you can come at this a number of different ways, thinking about how to impact this cow depreciation number, but it's something that we need to pay attention to. It typically represents, or cold cow value typically represents around 20% of the gross income to a cow-calf enterprise. Paying attention to this cow depreciation issue, understanding what it is and ways to mitigate it is important.
It's a significant expense, but it's also one that we just don't have to accept at face value. You just went through a lot of different ways that we could affect that. And honestly, you only scratched the surface. Don't want to go into it anymore today, but it's certainly one of those things that I think it's worth a lot of thought. What about equipment, buildings, labor? I guess some of those just general overheads. It's possible to get ourselves in a situation where we just got so much overheads that it's pretty difficult to turn a profit in a lot of years.
So I think one of the real challenges in ranching, one of the challenges in agriculture as a whole, production agriculture, is overhead costs. And when I speak about overhead costs, I'm talking about labor and equipment and just cost in operating that equipment. So I guess one of the people who's kind of been a mentor for me and I have a great deal of respect for is a gentleman by the name of Burke Tigert. And Burke writes for Beef Magazine, and folks probably in many cases are familiar with his articles, but he just is really aggressive in talking about we have to cut overheads to the bone. And we got to look at what do we have in terms of equipment. We need to think about designing systems that minimize equipment. We need to ask, could we hire someone else to do this less expensively than we can? How can we reduce overhead costs? And so there's two different ways to get at this overhead cost situation. Number one is just try to keep your equipment to a minimum, and also try to think about how to minimize labor. And I realize many people who listen to this podcast may have other outside jobs in addition to their cow herd, and that's a good situation. I think calf production can be a nice fit, a complement to an outside source of employment. It's thinking about, in those scenarios, again, think about ways to reducing those overhead costs around equipment. For those who are trying to make a living with a cow herd, I think, again, it's thinking about your labor input and how do you increase that or increase your cow numbers potentially to spread your labor and overhead costs over more units. For example, if I have 200 cows and I decide that I have the opportunity to add 200 cows to that, when I add those 200 cows and I'm now running 400 cows, I probably don't go hire someone else to help me. I don't buy another tractor. I don't not buy another pickup or four-wheeler. In a sense, what happened when I added those 200 cows, my overhead costs per cow unit were cut in half. So that's a challenge for us in this business. I think thinking about it, being aggressive about it, trying to think creatively. Is there opportunities to share equipment with somebody else? Is there opportunities to change my production system so I need less equipment? Or figure out how to run more units against the overheads of labor and equipment that I do have.
That's a good way of summarizing it. I think in lots of cases, those overheads increase in a stair-step fashion. Like you talked about, it might not need much more overhead going from 200 to 400 cows. Eventually, you get to the point where you do need more overhead and you need to make the jump up. But I think you always need to be on the far end of that, where you're spreading that overhead over as many cows as possible. And lots of times it's not just a matter of you need to cut overhead. Sometimes you just need to grow to be big enough to effectively use the overhead that you have. Let's talk about bulls.
Yeah, bull costs. I think that often is another big expense. And when I look at enterprises and getting cow-calf enterprise, bull costs tend to be one that I see a lot of variation in. Sometimes I'll see scenarios where we're looking at close to $100 per cow in breeding costs related to a bull. And there are sometimes we can get those costs down to somewhere between $20 to $40 per cow. Now, I want to make clear up front that I am an advocate of using good genetics. I don't want people to listen to this and say, well, Aaron's just advocating going and getting a cheap bull to try to address his bull costs. That's not the scenario. But I do think you want to think about what are the things that increase my cost per cow in terms of cost per pregnancy, and what are things that decrease that, and what things might I control, what things might I do to reduce my bull costs and still have good genetics, still produce a real quality calf. So I think there's some things in my mind. First, I think we need to look at timed AI programs. As we look at those today, the opportunity to use a timed AI program where we can get 50 to 60% of cows essentially bred on one day is a tool that we really need to consider as we think about looking at our breeding cost. I think about also thinking about, is there ways we might increase the life of the bull in terms of, could he cover more cows? Could we use him another year or two? That can really spread those bull costs out over more cows and reduce our bull expense. And I think we also need to be sharp with our pencil and thinking about how and where we buy bulls. Oftentimes we can get very good genetics, still meeting the needs of what we want to do, in situations maybe that we wouldn't otherwise generally think about. And so really examining those options, thinking through our bull cost is an important piece.
Thanks, Aaron. Let's talk about ownership costs or opportunity costs. It's a cost that a lot of people just like to ignore and say, well, you know, I don't want to include that, but you know what? Money's valuable. Your time's valuable. You got to make sure you get paid for both your money and your time.
Yeah. So I think one of the costs that most folks oftentimes don't include unless they're borrowing money. If you're borrowing money for the cow herd or have borrowed money on the cow herd, you're well aware of the cost of capital. You're well aware of the opportunity cost that's involved in ownership of that cow. I think sometimes when the cows are paid for, we don't take that into account. So how do you do that? How do you think about that? Well, there's a couple different ways to do that. I think some folks say, well, I ought to be able to get should charge opportunity cost on what I could take that money and put it in the bank. And I think that could be sure a fair way. Obviously, interest rates are very low right now. But I also would need to say that I think that's probably not high enough, because if you think about it, having your money invested in cows has got more risk than it would if you had your money in the bank. And typically, risk and reward are tied together. And so I think an interest rate that's higher than what you could get at the bank on capital you have invested in your cow herd sure should be considered. Some folks would say you should value that capital at what you would be borrowing the money for. And I think that sure could be a fair number as well. If operating or investment in the cow is somewhere between 5 to 7% interest, then maybe you want to use that. Some folks like to use a number in between, something between what you would need to pay on interest and what you would be getting if you put your money in the bank. I think that's fair as well. The big thing I think is important in my mind is think through what is fair to you from your perspective. Realize that that capital has value and that it should be able to generate some return on that investment. An illustration I like to use is, I said, if I went to you and asked for $100,000 and then at the end of the year just brought you back $100,000, you probably wouldn't be very excited about that. And in many cases, that's what folks do with the capital investment in the cow herd if they don't think about some return on their investment. That capital there should return something.
All right. Absolutely. And of course, there are other costs that we haven't discussed. We didn't really talk much about cash direct non-feed costs. They're important. You add them all together. They're not as big of a piece of the puzzle of some of the things that we have discussed, but every area of cost deserves scrutiny on your operation. Aaron, you want to summarize, throw a loop around this for folks?
Yeah. So I think in summary, I realize for a lot of folks, the thought of trying to get the numbers together to get a handle on unit cost production is daunting. And I'm fully aware of that. And I think, Jay, you and I have had this conversation. And as I work with producers, I find it to be true. I think in many cases, probably less than 5% of cow-calf producers actually know, when I say actually know, really do know, can have a defensible number in terms of what is their unit cost production. That having been said, it's a number that really, from my perspective, can provide information that can be very valuable as you think about evaluating and making decisions. And so if this is something you're not comfortable with, if you want to grow in your skill set, I'd encourage you to contact myself or Jay Jenkins. We have a two-day workshop that we've put together that really helps people go through actual case study ranch and works through how do you get a handle on unit cost production. This particular ranch case study, we break the operation into enterprises. We have a land business, or a land enterprise. We have a hay enterprise. We have a stocker yearling, which is also a heifer development enterprise. And then we also have the cow-calf enterprise. We break the operation into enterprises. We look at where value is being generated. We look at where costs occur. We allocate expenses, and we get a handle on what unit cost production is. And then from that, we begin to project and think about what could we do based on the information we have to make decisions or drive this business where we want to go. And really that exercise and the spreadsheets that we have, Excel-based spreadsheets, we really think are a good tool to allow people to be able to have information they need to make good management decisions. And that really is the goal of knowing your unit cost production. Just having the number really doesn't have any value. The other thing I would say is you can't change what happened last year. The power in knowing your unit cost production is to be able to take that information, to look forward, to be able to make good, effective management decisions to drive the business where you want to go.
Absolutely. Gives you a good idea of where in your business needs tweak. Thanks again, Aaron, for joining us today.
Thanks for the opportunity, Jay. I appreciate it.
Once again, this has been Jay Jenkins and Aaron Berger, Nebraska Extension Beef Systems Educators, bringing you the Beef Watch Podcast. Thanks for sticking with us to the end. This one's a little bit longer than most of them, but I know that you've got a lot of valuable information. And just the fact that Aaron and I have a two-day workshop that we teach just goes to show how important we think this subject is. So thanks for joining us, and don't hesitate to call either one of us if you have questions or want to learn more. You can find links to the UNL Beef Watch podcast and the Profit Tips section of the Beef website, of course, at beef.unl.edu.